Today's message is how can I say thanks? How can I say thanks? And we've been in the Thanksgiving season here in the month of November. We just kind of left it. We're at the beginning of December 2012. And, you know, Thanksgiving, like I said in the past few weeks, is not really something we do or celebrate once a year. A lot of people in America have this mindset that Thanksgiving is celebrated once a year. It's something that you do once a year. But we as believers in Jesus Christ have to have the mindset that Thanksgiving is something that we do on a consistent basis. We really practice thanks living as believers in Jesus Christ. We live with a thankful attitude, you know, 365 days a year, not just one day a year. Would you agree here today?
Yes, sir.
So as believers in Jesus Christ, we practice thanks living. All right. There's so many good things that God has done for us. We had praise reports here today of the financial provisions and provision of property and place to live and so forth, and even this shelter here. God, every good thing in your life has come from the hand of Almighty God. Never forget that. From the big miracles like a relationship, a good job, you know, being part of a great ministry, to the smallest of things in your life, like that cup of coffee or that bus ticket. Every good thing, large and small, has come from the hand of God. He is the giver of good things. Would you agree here today? Okay, God is good all the time. He's a good God that we serve. He's the author of good. Don't let anybody or anything tell you any differently. If something negative has happened in your life, it was not caused by God. You know, when negative things happen to us in life, it's a lot of times due to the poor decisions of others, all right? And it's due to sin that is present in this world. So never forget it. God is the author of good. And every good thing, every single breath that you're taking right now has been given to you by the Almighty God. Would you agree here today? All right. His manifold blessings upon our lives. I think the greatest gift, I don't think, I know, the greatest gift that God has given to us, it trumps all other gifts, is the gift of eternal life. Friends, you know, before Jesus Christ, before we placed faith in Jesus Christ, all of us were headed to eternal loss. Separation from God forever. And the greatest gift that God has given to you and to me is eternal life by faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. I can't imagine being separated from God's presence for a moment, let alone an eternity. And when we get to heaven one day, when you and I get to heaven one day, we'll be jumping, shouting, praising God, thanking God for the gift of eternal life, for heaven where there is no more sorrow, there are no more tears. We'll be praising and thanking God. But on this side of eternity, here on this earth, we need to start thanking Him right now for the gift of eternal life. Would you agree here today? Say with me today, God, I want to thank You for the gift of eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, God gave His only begotten Son, Jesus, 2,000 years ago, brought Him into this world, and that's what we're celebrating in Christmas, is the birthday of Jesus Christ. Jesus came to a sin-riddled world 2,000 years ago and did His work upon the cross so that by faith in Him, we could have this awesome gift of eternal life. Now, we can say thanks to God for eternal life with words, right? We could, like we just did here a second ago. God, I thank You for the gift of eternal life. But words alone don't do it justice. You know, really, we need to be thinking, God, really, how can I give You thanks for this awesome gift of eternal life? This gift is out of this world. It's the greatest gift in the universe that any human being could ever receive. We could say thanks with our mouths, but then we can think, man, how really can I say thanks in even a deeper way? Now, think about this illustration for a second. Say you've got a loved one, a child, a parent, a grandparent, an uncle or an aunt, somebody you're really close to, who is dying of kidney disease and they need a kidney to live. They need a kidney to live. This loved one, you're close to this loved one. You don't want to see them dying prematurely. And so a match is found for this person, for this loved one, and this person decides to donate one of their kidneys to your loved one. To make a long story short, they donate the kidney and your loved one is saved. That's awesome, isn't it? Isn't that awesome? that person who donated the kidney saved the life of your loved one. Your attitude would be, my way of saying thanks is to help you in your time of need. You helped save my loved one. If there's anything I could ever do for you, just let me know and I'll do it as long as it's biblical and ethical. Is that making sense here today? And it's the same way with us, friends. On a spiritual level, God saved our lives eternally through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's awesome, isn't it? He saved us eternally. Eternally means forever, without end. And we need to be thinking to God, how can I say thanks? All right? You know, our attitude of thanks to God should be, God, you saved my life eternally. What you ask of me on this earth, I will do. You saved my life eternally, God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, by faith in Him. Whatever you ask me to do, God, on this earth, I will do it for you. That's my way, God, of saying thanks for this awesome gift of eternal life. Is that making sense here today? All right. What did Jesus say in John 14? If you got a Bible, you can turn there. If not, I'll read it. John 14, verse 15. This is what Jesus says. He says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. Then we jump down to verse 21. Jesus says, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Verse 23, Judas Iscariot, verse 22. Not Judas Iscariot, then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, verse 23, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All right? So Jesus says, if we really love him, we'll do what? We'll obey what? His commands. If we really love God, if we really love Jesus, and we want to tell God, thank you for the gift of eternal life, I submit myself to you, God, you'll end up doing what God tells you to do. Is that making sense? If you really love someone, you'll do what they're asking you to do, as long as it's legal and ethical and biblical. Is that making sense? All right, so the greatest command is what? Matthew chapter 22. The greatest command. Does anybody offhand know what it is? The greatest commandment. Okay, a lawyer came to Jesus. Matthew chapter 22, verse 34. He says this, Matthew 22, verse 35. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So Jesus said, if you love me, you'll do what I want. If we love Jesus, we'll do what? We'll do what he commands. What does he command us according to Matthew chapter 22? The greatest commandment. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. I'm going to read one more parable, okay? Yeah. Really? But Jesus teaches a different thing. Luke chapter 10. Which is a parable of the same greatest commandment. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied, how do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, verse 32, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense that you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. So this here is a parable explaining what? The greatest commandment of loving God first and foremost, and then loving your neighbor as yourself. So this Jew is traveling from where? From Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. He was beaten. They left him half dead. And isn't it a shame, a priest and a Levite, the ones who call themselves godly, that should have stopped to help this beaten Jew are the ones that did what? They just passed on by. But then a Samaritan, as he traveled, came to where the man was. When he saw him, he took pity on him. He bandaged him, his wounds, poured on oil and wine, put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn and took care of him, gave money to the innkeeper. He said, look after him. When I return, if there's any extra expense, I will reimburse you. Isn't that awesome? That's an awesome parable explaining the commandment of loving the Lord your God, first and foremost, and then loving your neighbor as yourself. This parable of the Good Samaritan illustrates loving your neighbor as yourself. Now, when you love your neighbor as yourself, there's certain things you need to sacrifice. Because there's a lot of people out there that don't look like you, don't smell like you, don't dress like you, don't eat the same food that you do. They're different. And sometimes it's hard to love those that are so different from us, that think so differently from us. But if the love of God is really on the inside of us, the agape love of God is on the inside of us, we'll be able to love the unlovable. The agape love of God loves by decision of will another person, even though that other person may be unlovable, expecting nothing in return. You see, a lot of people in the world, non-Christians, have this mindset. If you pat my back, I'll pat your back. If you do something good for me, I'll do something good for you. But the love of God, the agape love of God, says that I'm going to do good for you even though you never repay me. That's loving your neighbor as you love yourself. And the agape love of God is a self-sacrificing type of love. How many here like to sacrifice self? Let's be honest. It hurts. Putting self on the altar of God hurts a lot of times. It hurts putting self to death. But if the love of God is on the inside of you, you're going to love somebody else and reach out to them even when it does not feel good to self. Because the love of God sacrifices what? Self. It denies self. So God has given us this awesome gift of eternal life, right? Awesome gift of eternal life. Would you agree? You have received the gift of eternal life by faith in Jesus Christ. Our way of saying thanks to God for this awesome gift of eternal life is by doing what? Is by saying, God, I'm going to love my neighbor as I love myself. I'm going to reach out to the unlovable and love them, God, with your love. God, reaching out to the people you love, the people that are created in your image, is my way of saying thanks for the gift of eternal life. Is that making sense here today? So, the Samaritan, he sacrificed self in 3 different ways to love this beaten Jew. Number one, you got to realize historically that the Jews and the Samaritans had nothing in common. They didn't associate. There were racial animosities between the Jews and the Samaritans. They just didn't associate. All right? They didn't associate. But the Samaritan went beyond racial boundaries and did what? He interacted with this Jew. He helped him. So what did he do? The first thing he sacrificed by helping the beaten Jew was what? The Samaritan sacrificed a very vital thing. What was it? Reputation. Because historically, the Jews and the Samaritans would not interact at all. They'd have nothing to do with each other. So he sacrificed his reputation. He didn't mind. He didn't care what other people thought. He reached out with the love of God to help a bleeding Jew. And friends, I'm here to tell you today, if you're going to reach out beyond yourself to help somebody as your way of saying thanks to God for the gift of eternal life, you're going to have to, at times, sacrifice reputation. Maybe as a child growing up, you were told not to associate with a person of another race. You don't go near them. You don't talk to them. Have nothing to do with them. A person of another culture, maybe. You don't associate with them. Maybe you were taught this, you know? But what does the love of God say? The love of God says you go beyond those boundaries to reach out to somebody who is of a different race, who is of a different culture. Is that making sense here today? So if you happen to be white and there's somebody who is black with a flat tire on the side of the road and you were taught not to interact with them, what do? If you're operating under the love of God, you stop and you help that person change their tire. Is that making sense here today? And it goes vice versa as well. What's that? Yeah. So the second thing that the Samaritan sacrificed was what? Number one, reputation, right? And if we're going to operate under the love of God, we need to sacrifice our reputation. We need to say in ourselves, I don't care what somebody else thinks, I'm going to help this person. I was taught not to help these other people, but I am going to help them, reach out to them with the love of God. Number two, the Samaritan sacrificed what? What did he sacrifice? Number two, his time. He sacrificed his time. Because the Samaritan, as he traveled, he was on his way somewhere. He had a schedule, but when he saw the beaten Jew, what did he do? He put his schedule aside. He sacrificed the schedule to stop and help this bleeding Jew. How many here have schedules? How many here have agendas? A place that you need to get to? Something you need to do? What does the love of God say? The love of God says what? Put your schedule aside at times to help somebody else. Is that good? Sacrificing your time schedule to help someone else. Maybe there's somebody here in downtown Tulsa who hasn't eaten for 2 days. And you're on your way to the BOK Center. You've got to get to a meeting. You've got to get to something. And you've only got 10 minutes left. But you see this person dying of hunger. What does the love of God say? The love of God says to do what? The love of God says, man, just put your schedule aside. It's okay that you only have 10 minutes left. Go to the quick trip off of Denver, buy that person dinner, and give it to them. That's the love of God, right? Sacrificing your schedule. And finally, what did the Samaritan sacrifice in Luke chapter 10? He sacrificed what? He sacrificed number one what? What was the first thing he sacrificed? No, number one, we talked about he sacrificed his reputation. The second thing he sacrificed was his what? Somebody just said it. His time, his schedule. The third thing he sacrificed was what? His finances, his resources. He paid for this man to be in, right? And he told the innkeeper, if there's any extra expense when I return, I will reimburse you. So this man had a certain sum of money, a certain amount of resources, and he sacrificed his resources to help somebody else. Is that making sense? And you might be thinking today, well, Jonathan, I only have $30 to my name. And God may say, you see that person over there? Buy them 3 days worth of groceries. But God, that's sacrificing 20 of what I have. God says, do it, do it. If you take care of God's business, other people, God is going to take care of your business. What goes around comes around. Whatever a man sows, that also shall he reap. Is that good news here today? All right. Some of the other ways you could sacrifice of yourself is, like we said, time. If you've got so many hours in a week and you've got 2 or 3 hours a week to hang out with other people, find somebody who's lonely. Spend time with them, talking with them. Go to a prison. Go to a nursing home. Spend some time, sacrifice some of your time reaching out to those that are needier than yourself. You might be saying today, you know what, Jonathan, I'm a needy person. I'm a needy person. I'm in great need myself. How can I reach out beyond myself? Well, let me tell you this. There's somebody out there that's in greater need than you. You might be thinking, really? Yes. You got a meal after this chapel service here tonight. You've got a place to sleep tonight. There's people out there that haven't eaten for 2 or 3 days. There's somebody out there tonight that's going to sleep under a bridge. There is somebody out there in greater need than yourself. And I'm here to tell you today that when you reach out to that person with the love of God, guess what? When you touch that person with the love of God, you are touching the heart of God Himself. You are doing it to Jesus Himself. Is that making sense here today? When you reach out to somebody with God's love, you're touching Jesus Himself. Jesus said it in Matthew 25, "For as much as you've done it to the least of these brothers of mine, you have done it for me." When you reach out to somebody who smells different, who's sleeping on the side of the road, thinks different, dresses different, is of a different race, you reach out to that person with the love of God, you are touching and reaching out to Jesus Himself. Does that make sense? All right. And that's your way. Reaching out is our way of saying thanks to God for the gift, this awesome, out-of-this-world gift of eternal life. Did that make sense here today?